Come, gentle Ganymede, and play with me. I love thee well, sage. You know what she will.
I am much better for your worthless love that will not shield me from her shrewish blows.
What? Dares she strike the darling of my thoughts? I vow, if she but once frown on thee more, to hang her, meteor-like, twixt heaven and earth, and bind her hand and foot with golden cords.
Sweet Jupiter, if e'er I pleased thine eye, or seemed fair, walled in with eagle's wings, grace my immortal beauty with this boon, and I will spend my time in thy bright arms.
Sit on my knee and call for thy content.
I would have a jewel for mine ear, and then I'll hug with you 100 times.
And shalt have, Ganymede, if thou wilt be my love.
Aye, this is it. You can sit toying there and playing with that female wanton boy, whilst my Aeneas wanders on the seas and rests a prey to every billow's pride. What shall I do to save thee, my sweet boy? False Jupiter, rewardst thou virtue so? What is not piety exempt from woe? Then die, Aeneas, in thine innocence, since that religion hath no recompense.
Content thee, Cytherea, in thy care, since thy Aeneas' wandering fate is firm, whose weary limbs shall shortly make repose in those fair walls I promised him of yore. But first, in blood must his good fortune bud, which, once performed, poor Troy, so long suppressed, from forth her ashes shall advance her head, and flourish once again that erst was dead.
How may I credit these thy flattering terms, when both sea and sands beset their ships?
I will take order for that presently. Hermes, awake, and haste to Neptune's realm. Charge him from me to turn his stormy powers and fetter them in Vulcan's sturdy brass, that durst thus proudly wrong our kinsman's peace. Venus, farewell. Thy son shall be our care. Come, Ganymede, we must about this gear.
Disquiet seas, lay down your swelling looks, and court Aeneas with your calmy cheer. For my sake, pity him, Oceanus, that erstwhile issued from thy watery loins, and had my being from thy bubbling froth. What? Do I see my son now come on shore? Venus, how art thou compassed with content? Here in this bush, disguised will I stand, whilst my Aeneas spends himself in plaints, and heaven and earth with his unrest acquaints.
You sons of care, companions of my course, Priam's misfortune follows us by sea, and Helen's rape doth haunt ye at the heels. How many dangers have we overpassed, both barking Scylla and the sounding rocks, the Cyclops shelves and grim Ceraunia's seat, have you all gone and yet remain alive?
Brave Prince of Troy, thou only art our God, that by thy virtues freest us from annoy and makest our hope survive to coming joys. Do thou but smile, and cloudy heaven will clear.
Father, I faint. Good father, give me meat.
Scanius, go dry thy drenched limbs, whilst I with my Achates rove abroad to know what coast the wind hath driven us on, or whether men or beasts inhabit it.
Now is the time for me to play my part.
Oh, young men, saw you as you came any of all my sisters wandering here, having a quiver girded to her side and clothed in a spotted leopard skin?
I neither saw nor heard of any such. But what may I, fair virgin, call your name, whose looks set forth no mortal form to view, nor speech bewrays aught human in thy birth? Thou art a goddess that deludes thy eyes and shrouds thy beauty in this borrowed shape. Live happy in the height of all content, and lighten our extremes with this one boon, as to instruct us under what good heaven we breathe us now, and what this world is called.
But for the land whereof thou dost inquire, it is the Punic kingdom, rich and strong, whereas Sidonian Dido rules as queen. But what are you that ask of me these things? Whence may you come, or whither will you go?
Of Troy am I. Aeneas is my name, who, driven by war from forth my native world, put sails to sea to seek out Italy. With 12 Phrygian ships I ploughed the deep, and made that way my mother Venus led. But of all them, scarce 7 do anchor safe, and they so racked and weltered by the waves as every tide tilts twixt their oaken sides. And all of them, unburdened of their load, are ballast with billows' watery weight. But hapless I, God wot, poor and unknown, and have not any coveture but heaven.
Fortune hath favoured thee, whate'er thou be, in sending thee unto this courteous coast. A God's name on, and haste thee to the court, where Dido will receive ye with her smiles. And for thy ships, which thou supposest lost, not one of them hath perished in the storm, but are arrived safe not far from hence. And so I leave thee to thy fortune's lot, wishing good luck unto thy wandering steps.
Acates! 'Tis my mother that is fled. I know her by the movings of her feet. Stay, gentle Venus, fly not from thy son. But thou art gone, and leav'st me here alone to dull the air with my discursive moan.
Follow, ye Trojans, follow this brave lord, and plain to him the sum of your distress.
Why, what are you, or wherefore do you sue?
Wretches of Troy, envied of all the winds, that crave such favour at your honour's feet as poor distressed misery may plead. Save our ships from cruel fire, that do complain the wounds of 1,000 waves, and spare our lives, whom every spite pursues.
But tell me, Trojans if you be, unto what fruitful quarters were ye bound before that Boreas buckled with your sails?
There is a place, famous for arms, and fertile in fair Ceres' furrowed wealth, which now we call Italia. Thither made we, when suddenly gloomy Orion rose and led our ships into the shallow sands, whereas the southern wind with brackish breath dispersed them all amongst the wreckful rocks.
Brave men at arms, abandon fruitless fears, since Carthage knows to entertain distress. Come in with me. I'll bring you to my queen, who shall confirm my words with further deeds. Oh.
Where am I now? These should be Carthage walls.
Why stands my sweet Aeneas thus amazed?
Oh, my Achates, methinks that town there should be Troy. Yon Ida's hill, there Xanthus' stream, because here's Priamus. And when I know it is not, then I die.
And in this humour is Achates too.
Achates, see, King Priam wags his hand. He is alive. Troy is not overcome.
Thy mind, Aeneas, that would have it so, deludes thy eyesight. Priamus is dead.
Ah, Troy is sacked and Priamus is dead. And why should poor Aeneas be alive?
Sweet father, leave to weep. This is not he, for were it Priam, he would smile on me.
Aeneas, see, here come the citizens. Leave to lament, lest they laugh at our fears.
Lords of this town, or whatsoever style belongs unto your name, vouchsafe of ruth to tell us who inhabits this fair town.
I hear Aeneas' voice, but see him not, for none of these can be our general.
Like Ilioneus speaks this nobleman, but Ilioneus goes not in such robes.
You are Achates, or I am deceived.
Aeneas, see, is a jester, or his ghost.
Name's Aeneas, let us kiss his feet.
It is our captain!
See, Ascanius!
Oh, live long, Aeneas and Ascanius.
Katie, speak, for I am overjoyed.
Oh, Ilioneus, art thou yet alive?
It be the time I see a Katie's face.
Why turns Aeneas from his trusty friends?
Sir Gestas, Ilioneus, and the rest, your sight amazed me. Oh, what destinies have brought my sweet companions in such plight? Oh, tell me, for I long to be resolved.
Lovely Aeneas, these are Carthage walls, and here Queen Dido wears the imperial crown. Look where she comes. Aeneas, view her well.
Well may I view her, that she sees not me.
What stranger art thou that dost eye me thus?
Sometime I was a Trojan, mighty queen. But Troy is not. What shall I say I am?
Renowned Dido, 'tis our general. Warlike Aeneas.
Warlike Aeneas, and in these base robes? Go fetch the garment which Sychaeus wear. Brave prince, welcome to Carthage and to me. Both happy that Aeneas is our guest. Sit in this chair and banquet with a queen. Aeneas is Aeneas, were he clad in weeds as bad as ever Iris wear.
This is no seat for one that's comfortless. May it please your grace to let Aeneas wait, for though my birth be great, my fortune's mean, too mean to be companion to a queen.
Thy fortune may be greater than thy birth. Sit down, Aeneas, sit in Dido's place. And if this be thy son, as I suppose, here let him sit. Be merry, lovely child.
This place beseems me not, oh, pardon me.
I'll have it so. Aeneas, be content.
Madam, you shall be my mother.
And so I will, sweet child. Be merry, man. Here's to thy better fortune and good stars.
In all humility, I thank your grace.
Remember who thou art. Speak like thyself. Humility belongs to common grooms.
And who so miserable as Aeneas is?
Lies it in Dido's hands to make thee blessed? Then be assured thou art not miserable.
O Priamus, O Troy, oh, Hecuba.
May I entreat thee to discourse at large, and truly too, how Troy was overcome?
A woeful tale bids Dido to unfold, whose memory, like pale death's stony mace, beats forth my senses from this troubled soul, and makes Aeneas sink at Dido's feet.
What faints Aeneas to remember Troy, in whose defence he fought so valiantly? Look up and speak.
Then speak, Aeneas, with Achilles' tongue. The Grecian soldiers, tired with 10 years' war, began to cry, "Let us unto our ships. Troy is invincible, why stay we here?" With whose outcries Atrides, being appalled, summoned the captains to his princely tent, and so in troops all marched to Tenedos, where when they came, Ulysses on the sand essayed with honey words to turn them back. And as he spoke, to further his intent, the winds did drive huge billows to the shore, and heaven was darkened with tempestuous clouds. Then, he alleged, the gods would have them stay, and prophesied Troy should be overcome. And therewithal he called false Sinon forth, and him, Epeus having made the horse, with sacrificing wreaths upon his head, Ulysses sent to our unhappy town, who, grovelling in the mire of Xanthus' banks, his hands bound at his back, and both his eyes turned up to heaven, as one resolved to die, a Phrygian shepherds hailed within the gates, and brought unto the court of Priamus, to whom he used action so pitiful, looks so remorseful, vows so forcible, as therewithal the old man overcome, kissed him, embraced him, and unloosed his bands, and then, oh, Dido, pardon me.
Nay, leave not here. Resolve me of the rest.
Oh, the enchanting words of that base slave made him to think Epeus' pine tree horse a sacrifice to appease Minerva's wrath,
Whereat, aghast, we were commanded straight with reverence to draw it into Troy. In which unhappy work was I employed. These hands did help to hale it to the gates, through which it could not enter. 'Twas so huge. Oh, had it never entered, Troy had stood. But Priamus, impatient of delay, enforced a wide breach in that rampired wall, which 1,000 battering rams could never pierce, and so came in this fatal instrument, at whose accursed feet, as overjoyed, we banqueted, till overcome with wine, some surfeited, and others soundly slept, which sign on viewing caused the Greekest spies to haste to Tenedos and tell the camp. Then he unlocked the horse, and suddenly, from out his entrails, Neoptolemus, setting his spear upon the ground, leapt forth, and after him 1,000 Grecians more, in whose stern faces shined the quenchless fire that after burnt the pride of Asia. By this the camp was come unto the walls, and through this breach did march into the streets, where meeting with the rest, "Kill! Kill!" they cried. Frighted with this confused noise, I rose, and looking from a turret, might behold young infants swimming in their parents' blood, headless carcasses piled up in heaps, virgins half dead, dragged by their golden hair, and with main force flung on a ring of pikes, old men with swords thrust through their aged sides, kneeling for mercy to a Greekish lad who with steel poleaxes dashed out their brains. Then buckled I mine armour, drew my sword, and thinking to go down, came Hector's ghost, burst from the earth, crying, "Aeneas, fly! Troy is afire! The Grecians have the town!"
Oh, Hector, who weeps not to hear thy name?
Yet flung I forth, and desperate of my life, ran in the thickest throngs, and with this sword set many of their savage ghosts to hell. At last came Pyrrhus, fell and full of ire, his harness dropping blood, and on his spear the mangled head of Priam's youngest son. And after him his band of myrmidons, with balls of wild fire in their murdering paws, which made the funeral flame that burnt fair Troy, all which hemmed me about, crying, "This is he!"
How could poor Aeneas escape their hands?
My mother, Venus, jealous of my health, conveyed me from their crooked nets and bands. So I escaped the furious Pyrrhus' wrath, who then ran to the palace of the king, and at Jove's altar, finding Priamus, about whose withered neck hung Hecuba, folding his hands in hers, and jointly both beating their breasts and falling on the ground, he, with his falchion's point raised up at once, and with Megaera's eyes stared in their face, threatening 1,000 deaths at every glance, to whom the aged king thus trembling spoke, "Achilles' son, remember what I was, father of 50 sons, but they are slain, lord of my fortune, but my fortune turned, king of this city, but my Troy is fired, and now am neither father, lord, nor king. Yet who so wretched but desires to live? Oh, let me live, great Neoptolemus." Not moved at all, but smiling at his tears, this butcher, whilst his hands were yet held up, treading upon his breast, struck off his house.
Oh, and Aeneas, I can hear no more.
At which the frantic queen leapt on his face, and in his eyelids, hanging by the nails, a little while prolonged her husband's life. At last, the soldiers pulled her by the heels and swung her howling in the empty air, which sent an echo to the wounded king. Whereat he lifted up his bedrid limbs and would have grappled with Achilles' son, forgetting both his want of strength and hands, which he disdaining, whisked his sword about, and with the wind thereof the king fell down. Then, from the navel to the throat at once, he ripped old Priam, at whose latter gasp Jove's marble statue 'gan to bend the brow. By this, I got my father on my back, this young boy in mine arms, and by the hand led fair Creusa, my beloved wife. When thou, Achates, with thy sword madest way, and we were round environed with the Greeks. Oh, there I lost my wife. And had we not fought manfully, I had not told this tale. Yet manhood would not serve. Of force we fled.
I die with melting ruth. Aeneas, leave.
What became of aged Hecuba?
But how scaped Helen, she that caused this war?
Gates, speak. Sorrow hath tired me quite.
What happened to the queen we cannot show. We hear they led her captive into Greece. And Helena betrayed Deiphobus, her lover, after Alexander died, and so was reconciled to Menelaus.
Oh, had that ticing strumpet ne'er been born! Trojan, thy rueful tale hath made me sad. Come, let us think upon some pleasing sport to rid me from these melancholy thoughts.
Fair child, stay thou with Dido's waiting maid. I'll give thee sugar almonds, sweet conserves, a silver girdle, and a golden purse. And this young prince shall be thy playfellow.
Are you Queen Dido's son?
Aye. And my mother gave me this fine bow.
Shall I have such a quiver and a bow?
Such bow, such quiver, and such golden shafts will Dido give to sweet Ascanius. Eat comfits in mine arms. Now is he fast asleep, and in this grove, amongst green brakes, I'll lay Ascanius, and strew him with sweet-smelling violets, blushing roses, purple hyacinths. Now, Cupid, turn thee to Ascanius' shape, and go to Dido, who, instead of him, will set thee on her lap and play with thee. Then touch her white breast with this arrowhead, that she may dote upon Aeneas' love, and by that means repair his broken ships, victual his soldiers, give him wealthy gifts, and he at last depart to Italy. Or else in Carthage make his kingly throne.
I will, fair mother, and so play my part, as every touch shall wound Queen Dido's heart. Now, Cupid, cause the Carthaginian queen to be enamoured of thy brother's looks. Convey this golden arrow in thy sleeve, lest she imagine thou art Venus' son. And when she strokes thee softly on the head, then shall I touch her breast and conquer her.
How long, fair Dido, shall I pine for thee?
Iarbas, know that thou, of all my wooers, hast had the greatest favours I could give.
But Dido is the favour I request.
Fear not, Iarbas. Dido may be thine,
Look, sister, how Aeneas' little son plays with your garments and embraceth you.
No, Dido will not take me in her arms. I shall not be her son. She loves me not.
Weep not, sweet boy. Thou shalt be Dido's son.
Will Dido let me hang about her neck?
I wag, and give thee leave to kiss her too.
Come, Dido, leave Ascanius. Let us walk.
Go thou away. Ascanius shall stay.
Iarbas, die, seeing she abandons thee.
No, live, Iarbas.
Doth Dido call me back?
No. But I charge thee, never look on me.
Then pull out both mine eyes, or let me die.
Wherefore doth Dido bid Iarbas go?
Because his loathsome sight offends mine eye, and in my thoughts is shrined another love. Sweet Anna, say, is not Aeneas worthy Dido's love?
Oh, sister, were you empress of the world, Aeneas well deserves to be your love. So lovely is he that where'er he goes, the people swarm to gaze him in the face.
But tell them none shall gaze on him but I, lest their gross eye-beams taint my lover's cheeks. Anna, good sister Anna, go for him, lest with these sweet thoughts I melt clean away. I'll make me bracelets of his golden hair. His glistening eyes shall be my looking glass. His lips an altar where I'll offer up as many kisses as the sea hath sands. Instead of music, I will hear him speak. His looks shall be my only library, and thou, Aeneas, Dido's treasury, in whose fair bosom I will lock more wealth than 20,000 Indias can afford. Oh, here he comes. Love, love, give Dido leave to be more modest than her thoughts admit, lest I be made a wonder to the world. Achates, how doth Carthage please your lord?
That will Aeneas show your majesty.
Aeneas? Art thou there?
I understand your highness sent for me.
No, but now thou art here, tell me in sooth, in what might Dido highly pleasure thee?
So much have I received at Dido's hands as without blushing I can ask no more. Yet, Queen of Africa, my ships unrigged, my sails all rent in sunder with the wind, my oars broken and my tackling lost, yea, all my navy split with rocks and shells.
Aeneas, I'll repair thy Trojan ships, conditionally that thou wilt stay with me, and let Achates sail to Italy. I'll give thee tackling made of riveled gold, wound on the barks of odoriferous trees, oars of massy ivory full of holes, through which the water shall delight to play. Thy anchors shall be hewed from crystal rocks, which, if thou loose, shall shine above the waves. The masts whereon thy swelling sails shall hang, hollow pyramides of silver plate. The sails of folded lawn where shall be wrought the wars of Troy, but not Troy's overthrow. For Ballas, empty Dido's treasury. Take what ye will, but leave Aeneas here. Achates, thou shalt be so newly clad as sea-born nymphs shall swarm about thy ships, and wanton mermaids court thee with sweet songs, so that Aeneas may but stay with me.
Oh, happy shall he be whom Dido loves.
Then never say that thou art miserable, because it may be thou shalt be my love. Yet boast not of it, for I love thee not, and yet I hate thee not. Oh, if I speak, I shall betray myself. Aeneas, come, we two will go a-hunting in the woods. But not so much for thee, thou art but one, as for Achates and his followers.
Here lies my hate. Aeneas, cursed brat, the boy wherein false destiny delights. Troy shall no more call him second hope, nor Venus triumph in his tender youth. For here, in spite of heaven, I'll murder him, and feed infection with his let-out life.
What should this mean? My doves are back returned, who warn me of such danger pressed at hand to harm my sweet Ascanius' lovely life. Juno, my mortal foe, what make you here? Out, hateful hag! Thou wouldst have slain my son, had not my doves discovered thy intent. But I will tear thy eyes, throw forth thy head, and feast the birds with their bloodshotten balls, if thou but lay thy fingers on my boy.
Is this, then, all the thanks that I shall have for saving him from snakes and serpent stings that would have killed him sleeping as he lay? What though I was offended with thy son, and wrought him mickle woe on sea and land, yet now I do repent me of his ruth, and wish that I had never wronged him so.
Sister of Jove, if that thy love be such as these thy protestations do paint forth, we two as friends one fortune will divide. Love my Aeneas, and desire is thine. The day, the night, my swans, my sweets are thine.
More than melodious are these words to me that overcloy my soul with their content. Venus, sweet Venus, how may I deserve such amorous favours at thy beauteous hand? Thy son, thou knowest, with Dido now remains. Why should not they then join in marriage and bring forth mighty kings to Carthage town, whom casualty of sea hath made such friends?
Well could I like this reconcilement's means, but much I fear my son will ne'er consent.
This day they both a-hunting forth will ride into the woods adjoining to these walls. I'll make the clouds dissolve their watery works. Then in one cave the queen and he shall meet, and interchangeably discourse their thoughts, whose short conclusion will seal up their hearts unto the purpose which we now propound.
Aeneas!
Dido.
Tell me, dear love, I found you out this cave.
By chance, sweet queen, as Mars and Venus met.
Why, that was in a net where we are loose. And yet I am not free. Oh, would I were.
Why, what is it that Dido may desire and not obtain, be it in human power?
The thing that I will die before I ask, and yet desire to have before I die.
It is not aught Aeneas may achieve.
Aeneas? No. Although his eyes do pierce.
What, hath the Argus angered her in aught, and will she be avenged on his life?
Not angered me, except in angering thee.
Who then, if all so cruel may he be, that should detail thy eye in his defects?
The man that I do eye, where'er I am, whose amorous face like paean sparkles fire, and I must perish in his burning arms. Aeneas, oh Aeneas, quench these flames!
What ails my queen? Is she fallen sick of late?
Not sick, my love. But sick I must conceal the torment that it boots me not reveal. And yet I'll speak, and yet I'll hold my peace. To shame her worst, I will disclose my grief. Aeneas, thou art he. What did I say? Something it was that now I have forgot.
What means fair Dido by this doubtful speech?
Nay, nothing. But Aeneas loves me not.
Aeneas' thoughts dare not ascend so high as Dido's heart, which monarchs might not scale.
It was because I saw no king like thee, whose golden crown might balance my content.
If that your majesty can look so low as my despised worths that shun all praise, with this my hand I give to you my heart, and vow, by all the gods of hospitality, by heaven and earth, and my fair brother's bow, and by this sword that saved me from the Greeks, never to leave these new uprearing walls whilst Dido lives and rules in Juno's town, never to like or love any but her.
What more than Delian music do I hear, that calls my soul from forth his living seat to move unto the measures of delight? Kind clouds that sent forth such a courteous storm as made disdain to fly to fancy's lap. Stout love, in mine arms make thy Italy,
whose crown and kingdom rests at thy command. Hold, take these jewels at thy lover's hand, these golden bracelets, and this wedding ring, wherewith my husband wooed me yet a maid. And be thou king of Libya by my gift.
Did ever men see such a sudden storm? I think it was the devil's reveling night. There was such hurly-burly in the heavens. Doubtless Apollo's axle tree is cracked, or aged Atlas' shoulder out of joint. The motion was so over-violent.
In all this coil, where have ye left the queen?
Nay, where's my warlike father, can you tell?
Behold, where both of them come forth the cave.
Come forth the cave? Can heaven endure this sight?
The air is clear. And southern winds are west. Come, Dido, let us hasten to the town, since gloomy Aeolus doth cease to frown.
Cates and Ascanius, well met.
Fair Anna, how escaped you from the shower?
As others did, by running to the wood.
But where were you, Iarbas, all this while?
Not with Aeneas in the ugly cave.
I see Aeneas sticketh in your mind. But I will soon put by that stumbling block and quell those hopes that thus employ your cares.
Come, servants, come. Bring forth the sacrifice that I may pacify that gloomy Jove whose empty altars have enlarged our ills. Eternal Jove, great master of the clouds, father of gladness and all frolic thoughts, that with thy gloomy hand corrects the heaven when airy creatures war amongst themselves. Hear, Iarbas' plaining prayers, whose hideous echoes make the welkin howl and all the woods Elisa to resound. The woman that thou wilt us entertain yields up her beauty to a stranger's bed. Now, if thou beest a pitying god of power, on whom ruth and compassion ever waits, redress these wrongs and warn him to his ships.
Carthage, my friendly host, adieu. Since destiny doth call me from the shore, Hermes this night, descending in a dream, hath summoned me to fruitful Italy. Achates, come forth. Segestus, Ilioneus, Cloanthus, haste away, Aeneas calls.
What wills our lord, or wherefore did he call?
Aboard, aboard, since fates do bid aboard, and slice the sea with sable-coloured ships. Yet Dido casts her eyes like anchors out to stay my fleet from loosing forth the bay. Come back, I hear her cry afar, and let me link my body to thy lips, that tied together by the striving tongues we may as one sail into Italy.
Banish that ticing dame from forth your mouth and follow your foreseen stars in all. This is no life for men-at-arms to live, where dalliance doth consume a soldier's strength.
Why, let us build a city of our own, and not stand lingering here for amorous looks.
To Italy, sweet friends, we will not stay a minute longer here.
Trojans aboard, and I will follow you. I fain would go, yet beauty calls me back, to leave her so, and not once say farewell, were to transgress against all laws of love.
Oh, Anna, run into the waterside. They say Aeneas' men are going aboard. It may be he will steal away with them. Stay not to answer me. Run, Anna, run. Oh, foolish Trojans that would steal from hence and not let Dido understand their drift. See where they come. How might I do to chide?
It was time to run. Aeneas had been gone, and the sails were hoisting up, and he aboard.
Is this thy love to me?
Oh, princely Dido, give me leave to speak. I went to take my farewell of Achates.
How haps Achates bid me not farewell?
Because I feared your grace would keep me here.
To rid thee of that doubt, aboard again, I charge thee, put to sea and stay not here.
Then let Aeneas go aboard with us.
Get you aboard! Aeneas means to stay.
The sea is rough, the winds blow to the shore.
Oh, false Aeneas, now the sea is rough. But when you were aboard, 'twas calm enough. Thou and Achates meant to sail away.
Hath not the Carthage queen, mine only son, thinks Dido I will go and leave him here?
Aeneas, pardon me, but to make amends, wear the imperial crown of Libya. Sway thou the Punic scepter in my stead, and punish me, Aeneas, for this crime.
This kiss shall be fair Dido's punishment.
Oh, how a crown becomes Aeneas' head. Stay here, Aeneas, and command as king.
How vain am I to wear this diadem and bear this golden scepter in my hand, a burgeonet of steel and not a crown, a sword and not a scepter fits Aeneas.
Oh, keep them still and let me gaze my fill. Now looks Aeneas like immortal Jove. Oh, where is Ganymede to hold his cup and Mercury to fly for what he calls? 10,000 cupids hover in the air and fan it in Aeneas' lovely face.
Oh, Dido, patroness of all our lives, when I leave thee, death be my punishment. Swell, raging seas, frown wayward destinies. This is the harbour that Aeneas seeks.
Not all the world can take thee from mine arms. Aeneas may command as many moors as in the sea are little water drops. Fair sister Anna, lead my lover forth, and seat it on my genet to let him ride as Dido's husband through the Punic streets.
Then here, in me, shall flourish Priam's race, and thou and I, Achates, for revenge, for Troy, for Priam, for his 50 sons, our kinsmen's lives and 1,000 guiltless souls, will lead an host against the hateful Greeks, and fire proud Lacedaemon o'er their heads!
Speaks not Aeneas like a conqueror? Oh, blessed tempests that did drive him in! Oh, happy sand that made him run aground! Henceforth you shall be our Carthage guards. Aye, but it may be he will leave my love and seek a foreign land called Italy. I must prevent him. Wishing will not serve. Bring me his oars, his tackling, and his sails. What if I sink his ships? Oh, he will frown. It is Aeneas' frown that ends my days. If he forsake me not, I never die. For in his looks I see eternity, and he'll make me immortal with a kiss.
Here are Aeneas' tackling, oars and sails.
Are these the sails that, in despite of me, packed with the winds to bear Aeneas hence? I'll hang ye in the chamber where I lie. Drive, if you can, my house to Italy. Why should I blame Aeneas for his flight? Oh, Dido, blame not him, but break his oars. These were the instruments that launched him forth. Now let him hang my favours on his masts, and see if those will serve instead of sails. For tackling, let him take the chains of gold which I bestowed upon his followers. Instead of oars, let him use his hands and swim to Italy. I'll keep these sure. Come, bear them in.
Triumph, my mates! Our travels are at end. Here will Aeneas build a statelier Troy than that which grim Atrides overthrew. Carthage shall haunt her petty walls no more, for I will grace them with a fairer frame.
Aeneas, stay. Jove's herald bids thee stay.
Whom do I see?
Jove's winged messenger? Welcome to Carthage, new erected town.
Why, cousin, stand you building cities here and beautifying the empire of this queen while Italy is clean out of thy mind? The King of God sent me from highest heaven to sound this angry message in thine ears. Vain man, what monarchy expect'st thou here? Or with what thought sleep'st thou in Libya shore? If that all glory hath forsaken thee, and thou despise the praise of such attempts, yet think upon Ascanius' prophecy.
Welcome, sweet child. Where hast thou been this long?
Eating sweet comforts with Queen Dido's maid, who ever since hath lulled me in her arms.
Suggest it. Bear him hence unto our ships, lest Dido, spying him, keep him for a pledge.
Spent'st thou thy time about this little boy, and giv'st not ear unto the charge I bring? I tell thee, thou must straight to Italy, or else abide the wrath of frowning Jove.
How should I put into the raging deep, who have no sails nor tackling for my ships?
How now, Aeneas? Sad? What mean these dumps?
Iarbas, I am clean besides myself. Jove hath heaped on me such a desperate charge which neither art nor reason may achieve, nor I devise by what means to contrive.
As how, I pray, may I entreat you tell?
With speed he bids me sail to Italy, whenas I want both rigging for my fleet and also furniture for these my men.
If that be all, then cheer thy drooping looks, for I will furnish thee with such supplies. Let some of those thy followers go with me, and they shall have what things soe'er thou needst.
Thanks, good Iarbas, for thy friendly aid. Acates and the rest shall wait on thee, whilst I rest thankful for this courtesy. Witness the gods, and witness heaven and earth, how loath I am to leave these Libyan bounds, but that eternal Jupiter commands.
I fear I saw Aeneas' little son led by Acates to the Trojan fleet. If it be so, his father means to fly. But here he is. Now, Dido, try thy wit. Aeneas, wherefore go thy men aboard? Why are thy ships new rigged? Love makes me ask.
Oh, pardon me if I resolve thee why. Aeneas will not feign with his dear love. I must from hence. This day, swift Mercury, sent from his father Jove, appeared to me, and in his name rebuked me bitterly for lingering here, neglecting Italy.
But yet Aeneas will not leave his love.
I am commanded by immortal Jove to leave this town and pass to Italy, and therefore must of force.
These words proceed not from Aeneas' heart.
Not from my heart, for I can hardly go, and yet I may not stay. Dido, farewell.
Farewell? Is this the mens for Dido's love? Do Trojans use to quit their lovers thus? Farewell, may Dido so Aeneas stay. I die if my Aeneas say farewell.
Then let me go, and never say farewell.
Let me go? Farewell? I must from hence. These words are poison to poor Dido's soul. Oh, speak like my Aeneas, like my love. Why look'st thou toward the sea? The time hath been when Dido's beauty chained thine eyes to her. Am I less fair than when thou saw'st me first? Oh, then, Aeneas, 'tis for grief of thee. Say thou wilt stay in Carthage with thy queen, and Dido's beauty will return again. Therefore, unkind Aeneas, must thou say, then let me go and never say farewell?
O queen of Carthage, wert thou ugly black, Aeneas could not choose but hold thee dear. Yet must he not gainsay the gods' behest.
The gods? What gods be those that seek my death? Wherein have I offended Jupiter, that he should take Aeneas from mine arms? Oh, no, the gods weigh not what lovers do. It is Aeneas calls Aeneas hence. Hast thou forgot how many neighbour kings were up in arms for making thee my love? How Carthage did rebel, Iarbas storm, and all the world calls me a second Helen? Had I a son by thee, the grief were less, that I might see Aeneas in his face. Now if thou goest, what canst thou leave behind, but rather will augment than ease my woe?
In vain, my love, thou spend'st thy fainting breath. If words might move me, I were overcome.
And wilt thou not be moved with Dido's words? Wast thou not wrecked upon this Libyan shore, and cam'st to Dido like a fisher swain? Repaired not I thy ships, made thee a king, and all thy needy followers noblemen? O serpent that came creeping from the shore, and I for pity harboured in my bosom, wilt thou now slay me with thy venomed sting, and hiss at Dido for preserving thee? Go, go, and spare not, seek out Italy! I hope that that which love forbids me do, the rocks and sea-gulfs will perform at large, and thou shalt perish in the billows' ways, to whom poor Dido doth bequeath revenge. I traitor, and the waves shall cast thee up, where thou and false Achates first set foot, which, if it chance, I'll give thee burial, and weep upon your lifeless carcasses, though thou nor he will pity me a whit. Why starest thou in my face? If thou wilt stay, leap in my arms are open wide. If not, turn from me, and I'll turn from thee. For though thou hast a heart to say farewell, I have not power to stay thee. Is he gone? But he'll come again. He cannot go. He loves me too well to serve me so. Yet he that in my sight would not relent, will being absent be obdured still. By this is he got to the waterside, and see the sailors take him by the hand, but he shrinks back, and now, remembering me, returns amain. Welcome, welcome, my love! Where's Aeneas? Oh, he's gone, he's gone!
What means my sister thus to rave and cry?
My sister comes. I like not her sad looks.
Before I came, Aeneas was aboard, and, spying me, hoist up the sails amain. But I cried out, Aeneas, false Aeneas, stay! Then gan he wag his hand, which yet held up, made me suppose he would have heard me speak. Then gan they drive into the ocean, which when I viewed, I cried, Aeneas, stay! Dido, fair Dido, wills Aeneas, stay! Yet he whose heart's of adamant or flint, my tears nor plaints could mollify a whit. Then carelessly I rent my hair for grief, which seemed to all, though he beheld me not, they gan to move him to redress my ruth, and stay a while to hear what I could say. But he, clapped under hatches, sailed away.
Oh, Anna, Anna, I will follow him.
How can you go when he hath all your fleet?
Frame me wings of wax like Icarus, and o'er his ships will soar unto the sun, that they may melt and I fall in his arms, or else I'll make a prayer unto the waves, that I may swim to him like Triton's niece. Look, sister, look, lovely Aeneas' ships. See, see, the billows heave them up to heaven, and now down fall the keels unto the deep. Oh, sister, sister, take away the rocks, they'll break his ships. Oh, Proteus, Neptune, Jove, save, save Aeneas, Dido's lifeless love. Now is he come on shore, safe without hurt, but see, Achates wills him put to sea, and all the sailors merry make for joy. But he, remembering me, shrinks back again. See where he comes. Oh, welcome, welcome, my love.
Ah, sister, leave these idle fantasies. Sweet sister, cease. Remember who you are.
Dido, I am, unless I be deceived.
And must I rave thus for a runagate? Must I make ships for him to sail away? Nothing can bear me to him but a ship, and he hath all my fleet. What shall I do but die in fury of this oversight? I must be the murderer of myself. No, but I am not. Yet I will be straight. Anna, be glad. Now have I found a mean to rid me from these thoughts of lunacy. Go, Anna. Bring me fire.
How long will Dido mourn a stranger's flight that hath dishonoured her and Carthage both? How long shall I with grief consume my days and reap no guerdon for my truest love?
Iarbas, talk not of Aeneas. Let him go. Lay to thy hands and help me make a fire that shall consume all that this stranger left. For I intend a private sacrifice to cure my mind that melts for unkind love.
But afterwards will Dido grant me love.
Aye, Iarbas. After this is done, none in the world shall have my love but thou. So leave me now. Let none approach this place. Now, Dido, with these relics, burn thyself. And make Aeneas famous through the world for perjury and slaughter of a queen. Here lies the sword that in the darksome cave he drew and swore by to be true to me. Thou shalt burn first. Thy crime is worse than his. Here lies the garment which I clothed him in when first he came on shore. Perish thou too. These letters, lines, and purged papers all shall burn to cinders in this precious flame. And now, ye gods that guide the starry frame, and order all things at your high dispose, grant, though the traitors land in Italy, they may be still tormented with unrest, and from mine ashes let a conqueror rise, that may revenge this treason to a queen, by ploughing up his countries with the sword. Live, false Aeneas! Truest Dido, dies!
That was Dido, Queen of Carthage, by Christopher Marlowe. Dido was played by Sally Dexter, Aeneas by Timothy Walker, Iarbas by Jeremy Blake, and Achates by Ben Thomas. Anna and Juno were played by Teresa Gallagher, Sergestus and Hermes by David Thorpe, and Jupiter and Bionius by John Webb. Philip Anthony was Cloanthus, Ian Shaw was Ascanius and the First Lord, Diana Pyon played Venus, and Andrew Wincott was Cupid. Ganymede was played by Matthew Sim. Dido, Queen of Carthage, was directed by Michael Early and Alan Drury.